Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
I'm not at represent, but I do like the training and just like scheduling for the station. So we went to go see their community station and their national station as well, and then just went to go listen to loads of music. And it was a lot of like dinners and lunches, and I didn't realise it was that corporate.
Is it?
So I went to for dinner with the British Council once, and I got so drunk.
My girl, love that.
No, but the type of drunk,
good to hear. She's back.
They had like...
Thought I lost her.
They had the best white wine.
Thought I lost
her, pal.
In South Africa.
It's not
even
summer
yet. Yeah, because it's divine.
Yeah?
If she goes on a break during summer, that would be disappointing.
She did last year.
I'm back.
To be fair, breaks are good, man. You have to look after the body, man.
Yeah, I just need to know that I can do it. That's all.
Okay. She said, I don't want to be an addict. I hear you. Manny, how you doing, bro?
Bottle of wine, guys.
Are we starting recording?
It's already recording, mate.
No way.
Yeah, it's already recording.
You should have got a bottle of wine, guys.
I'm doing great, but...
Maybe...
For the morning, if we done the afternoon, then yeah. But to be fair,
you... Would you drink wine in the morning?
No.
You wouldn't drink wine at this time?
What's the time right now? Like, I think it becomes a bit more acceptable because it's just before lunch.
Yeah. Well, we can just lie and say it's after 12.
It's off somewhere.
You guys don't utilise lying enough for my liking, and that's your own fault.
We're not all Nigerian women.
Okay.
It's a good joke for me, to be fair, Manny.
Thank you, my guy.
Back in the booth. We are the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Yes, sir.
14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. But sorry, you've now got me thinking about me talking slowly. It's got me a bit paranoid.
Don't be paranoid. Everything you do is perfect.
Look at that. Making me feel good about myself. We're back in the studio today. Very special episode. Really excited for this one. Before we introduce our special guest and a friend of the show, going to introduce the fellow co-hosts. We'll start with you, Basola, fresh from Zimbabwe.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to move my mic, guys. I'm so sorry. Okay.
How'd you do?
I'm feeling fantastic. I came straight off the plane from Zimbabwe and went straight to work. Manny was calling me and I was like, oh, sorry about work. And Manny's like, you're actually working? And he sounded disgusted, surprised and disappointed all at once. So yeah, feeling great.
You know, I thought you was going to lie like you did in the last episode.
Well, I can't remember. I always lie. What did I say?
It was the clip with Josh, innit? Oh, what was it though? And you said in the comments, you said, oh, I don't know why I lied here.
She was lying about...
Oh, about Helly.
Helly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I lied a lot that episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was something to do.
Yeah, again.
Sometimes it just comes like off naturally. I'm like, why is that lying?
Yes, of course.
You want to repeat what I said earlier? Yeah, because I asked you guys a question, you guys were so headstrong on the answer. And I was like, oh, same.
You asked us, did you clock Kelly R's Helena?
And you guys were like, I said, yeah, same. Do you know what I love? Josh lied as well. Then he was like, wait, I didn't clock either. And we both were like, oh, why are we lying?
Good episode, that, to be fair.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a good episode. One of our best, to be fair.
Is that, guys? Why do you think it's one of our best?
Oh, because Huss wasn't on it.
There we go.
He's going to watch this back.
There we go.
And he's going to message, he won't message you lot. Anyway, Manny, how'd you do, pal?
I'm doing good. See, you do that thing that I do.
Go on.
When I say, oh, this is my favourite XXX. Every single episode is a very special episode. Every time we come in,
when we have guests, you have to make them feel special, though.
Yeah.
If it's just us for a lot, who cares? It's just us talking.
No, I still want to be made to feel special.
Say again?
I'm not saying that again.
Fair enough. But yeah, I'm a good, my guy. I'm happy to be here. Happy to have our guest here. Always nice seeing you guys on a Sunday every other week.
You going to hold the mic for this whole...
No, I was going to finish talking, then I was going to fix it.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. But yeah, I'm all good.
But yes, this is a very special episode because I love when we have our friends on the show, or friends of the show, shall I say. So big introduction and a round of applause for Golda Kessie. Round of applause, guys. Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
How'd you do?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah?
The sun is shining.
Yes.
On London, you know. What happens when London and the sun come together? So happy I am.
What are we looking forward to, Manny, in terms of spring?
Bike rides, homemade cocktails.
Why are you laughing at
him? I don't know. That first one, I said, what the hell did he say?
Bike rides.
Yeah.
What do you think I said?
Nah, man.
Okay, carry on, Manny.
Where's your mind going, my guy?
Honestly. That's why I disappointed myself as well.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, bike rides, cocktail making, POC.
Park trips, friends, man.
Yeah, I missed it. I think last time we did a POC, it was like 2021. And that was a great time, going to the POC, that is. not the actual period, but yeah, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to summer.
Spring's always an interesting time.
Sorry, spring, not summer. You're talking about spring.
Yeah. I mean, it still kind of crosses over into some kind of... Yeah.
I got weddings to go to in spring, so I'm looking forward to that.
Where's your own? That's what she's going to say.
I didn't even say that.
I know, but I heard
but
it.
I know that you feel that.
I told you, 2027.
No, I said 2026. I didn't say 2027.
and that changed, man.
Spring's always interesting as well, because I think some of the good films that come out... in like sort of October get premiered in like the spring period at the different festivals, so it's going to be really interesting to see which films. I think South by Southwest was last week. One of the friends of the show, Jay, was there, got taken by TikTok, really cool. And then we've got Cannes coming up as well, Cannes Film Festival, so it'll be an interesting time. Biss, you, spring, is it kind of your season or not?
Do you know, it's the warm up to my birthday, so yeah.
When's your birthday?
June 21st, longest day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, sick. And Golda, yourself?
What exactly?
Spring, is it a season that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah?
New birth. It's also my birthday in April, so I feel like they're nice.
How do we turn in?
Grown. I'm not grown.
That's the right answer, to be fair.
Grown. But I'm excited. I feel like this year's going to be a good year. So spring, I feel like...
Refresh,
new life, new things. So yeah, just looking forward to this season.
Perfect. Before we get started into the episode and we talk about what you've been working on recently, got a task for you. Every guest now has a task. We want to know your Mount Rushmore. So normally, the previous time we did it with Josh Tedeku, got it right?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah? Cool. We asked him his Mount Rushmore for TV shows. So we're going to ask you for yours firstly. What is your Mount Rushmore? So your top four TV shows of all time.
Oh, of all time. Mm. The pressure is getting worse. I would definitely have to put Black Mirror up there, but when it was British.
Yeah.
TV shows. If you said films, I feel
is
like...
Is that easier for you?
Hey, please. I've already started with TV. Let's stay there.
I think TV shows are easier for me as well.
Really?
Yeah. Films is difficult for a Mount Rushmore.
There's a lot more classic films that you can just easily throw up.
You can just throw in, yeah. Throw in a Godfather without even having to think about it.
Sorry, you would say the Godfather?
What are you saying? Would I say?
Yeah.
Don't know if I'd have it in my mount, but it's definitely one of my... I love the Godfather.
I wouldn't have it in my mount right now, but it's top 15 somewhere.
So, yeah, it's a good film.
I'm trying to think about what TV shows I have watched that I'm like...
Manny, what about you? We'll come back to
that. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Think about it.
The Wire.
Come on, man.
Ooh, correct. That's good.
We'll absolutely be up there.
I've got...
I guess possibly Black Mirror as well, again, when it was British. I think the first three seasons are like really, really good TV. Even
kind of genre-defining as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. They do take like quite a lot of inspiration from TV shows such as The Twilight Zone and similar to Severance and also Inside Number 9. I don't know if anybody's watched.
Did that come first?
Inside Number 9.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the Black Mirror does take a lot of inspiration from Inside Number 9. And
that's the beautiful thing about art though, right? Because art inspires art.
Yeah. It's exactly. But yeah, The Wire, I'm going to go with Black Mirror. I am going to throw in there BoJack Horseman.
That is definitely one of your faves, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's such a well-written TV show. And Severance.
It's a big shout.
I'm angry at you.
Well, thank you.
Gold, do you need more time?
Yeah, I think I do.
This?
For Sonico.
Okay.
No pressure.
No, there's pressure.
Yeah, there's pressure.
Okay, so Mount Rushmore is four. So I want to say The Wire. I want to say The Office.
US.
US. Or India.
Guys.
Oh yeah, India's so good, guys. I actually believe you
because you've watched like all of them. Yeah. Freak.
No.
How many did you say? There's like 14 versions of The Office, and that's insane.
14.
The OC Office Cinematic Universe.
That's good, crazy TV. You need to make more videos on that.
Yeah, I will. Do you know what? If you want me to, let me know.
I will.
That's a drop a comment.
I'll react to it. Yeah. What'd I say?
Office.
Office. The Wire. I'm going to say. feels a bit performative, but I am going to say Severance because I do mean it, but it also feels like I'm just saying it because I need to say it.
No, you mean it, it's okay.
But I do actually mean it. I'm saying it because I'm next to you. You're right. Okay. And then fourth, I might go... I'm going to say Misfits. But I have to say Misfits because of all the shows that I love that I feel like kind of came from it. So it's kind of like Patient Zero. Okay. Do you know what I mean? So if I say Office, if I say Misfits, I can say tons of other things underneath.
Hold on. Ready?
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Not Misfits. Scandal. Oh my fucking God, Scandal. God, yes. How stressful.
Ooh, the pressure. I would say Black Mirror when it was British. Mm-hmm. I love the capture.
Come on, man.
I really love the capture. I feel like it's flawless TV. I could watch it again and again.
Season one or season two? What do you prefer?
Probably season one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's the one I like season two. Few shows where I'm like, season two might have been better than season one for me. Yeah.
It was close for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like season one gave a nice foundation for what was to come in season two. And also, this was before the whole AI big things. Yeah. Like, so I think it kind of primed us for that. But season two felt like we already kind of were...
Living in
that AI era, so it felt less profound. Like the first one, right. I felt like, oh, this is crazy.
Mm.
But it's still good. Season two is still good. TV, The Wire, I have to. I feel like it's a classic.
Yeah.
And number four, you know, I've only just started watching Severance. Okay. So I just don't know if I could give it, but I understand why.
Just give it now because you're going
to
see it.
Okay, cool.
Where are you up? where are you up to with Severance?
I'm like episode one.
Oh, season one?
Yeah, I'm very, very early.
What? You watch one episode?
No. Yeah. Manny looks so disappointed. Look how disgusted he is.
I look at you.
Yeah.
You could view it differently, though. The first episode was that striking.
Yeah, you're getting the issue.
Yeah, like, I could see why it primes people. And also, I've seen some clips on TikTok. You know, everything is always so. So that's why I'm like, I see. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't want you to say yours. I want us to guess.
What, mine?
Your Mount Rushmore.
Go on, try.
I feel like we'll get it. The Wire?
That's New Marino.
No, it's the other one. What's the other show?
Sopranos.
That's it.
No, The Wire is definitely New Marino.
I don't think Sopranos is in your top four.
It's not in your top four. So you're right, Raven, I should watch it. It's not even in your top four.
Sopranos is quality.
Do you know what? I should have said Fresh Prince. Like, that's a classic.
Yeah.
No, say it.
That's a classic.
Host will like.
Why was that face like that?
I don't know. It's a knee-jerk reaction.
Sorry. No, Fresh Prince is fair enough.
It's because of Sam, honestly.
Okay, cool.
You're triggered. Fair.
Yeah, Host will be a big fan of you if you said Fresh Prince. Yeah. He loves that.
Yeah. The Wire, definitely.
For me, yeah.
The Office as well. Taking a piss.
It's either Luther...
Could be.
Or not the capture. What's the other one? Line of Duty.
Oh. I feel like Line of Duty makes sense for.
Maybe.
Him. Yeah.
Well, another one definitely will be that up there, Game of Thrones.
I'm forgetting about all the great Game ones. Yeah.
Daredevil.
Good one.
Yeah. Daredevil. 100% yeah, Daredevil. Exactly. So that's three.
Okay.
So we go one more. The last one has to be a crime drama because we don't have a single crime.
So
drama.
I should squeeze one in there, innit?
Huh?
Line of Duty.
I don't think Line of Duty is number one crime drama, though.
No. I think it is. Or Luther.
I'm leaning towards Luther more than Line of Duty.
No, I think
But then again, Succession.
That's great TV, man. I've got to revisit at some point. We always say this, don't we? When we've got to revisit Succession because
I'm currently re-binging Succession.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
With ours?
Okay.
You don't take binging seriously.
Yeah, we don't.
I don't.
Yeah. You don't take I don't binge shows with you because you don't take it seriously.
Yeah, I don't.
She's like the binger out of all of us. Yeah. She's the big
Give me a week and I'll watch it all.
We saw like,
I
the
wish
beach
I had,
binging.
I could. Because I would love to binge like Severance. I would like to binge
No.
Do you know what, I take back what I said. They made it seem like you shouldn't binge it. I binged it and I said I regretted it, but I don't.
Binge so you lied again.
Yeah, I lied again. So it's just a thing I do. But you should definitely binge it if you've got a chance to.
Binge the line is all you do.
that's all I know.
But Golda, you messaged, I think you spoke to both me and Manny sometime last year. And I was kind of surprised, but I can also see within you and your personality, for the audience that don't know, we've known Golda for like maybe 4 years, I'd say.
2021, yeah.
Four years. I've always seen like a creative, spark in you.
Yeah, facts.
And I've known that you've sort of delved into creativity in the past through different sort of realms. But when you messaged me, I was a bit surprised. You messaged me something. What did you message? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Directors.
You asked us.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sometime last year, yeah.
What was going on in life last year that sparked that sort of, that conversation with me and Manny and, yeah.
Ah, where do I start? How honest do I get?
No, completely.
Really?
Put my feet up, get comfy.
So, at the time, I had gotten new headshots. I had an acting agent that I'd been with for a while, and I got new headshots. And off the back of the headshots, me and my agent loved the headshots, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I respectfully was like, I just don't think they represent me well. Off the back of that conversation, we split ways.
Oh.
Which is very...
really random.
Very random. Like, and also very... it was a blessing, one of the biggest blessings in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even I went on a walk to post something, and in my heart something was like... I always felt as God was like, I could only like appreciate this next season if I'm able to give thanks when it doesn't look like it's going well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what does that mean? And then literally that whole thing with my agent happened like a few hours later. And then I was like, okay, cool. Now I don't have an agent because all off the back of headshots, I was like, and I'm quite a respectful person. I think people who know me are like, I'm not going to ew, these headshots.
Mm.
And off the back of that, I'm like, okay, cool, I have no agent, and now I need to apply for one. What do I need? I need new material. And then I was like, okay, cool. So I started doing research. I was like, okay, cool. Actually, on the plane to New York a few months before that, I started writing a book. I was like, I might as well just write a book. And
see what Manny said about you before, about things just, you just do things without necessarily thinking about doing them. I think it's quite cool.
Yeah. I said that a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So I started writing a book, and it was about being Black British, but also being really disconnected from your roots. Yeah. And I feel like that's going to be something that's going to be quite common as first and second generation Black Brits. I think I'm second generation. I'm second generation Black Brits, and my parents migrated from Africa here.
Yeah.
That when I would go back to Ghana, I don't feel Ghanaian, but in the UK, I'm clearly not English. It's like between two worlds. So I wrote a book about a Black British person who met someone from a different country who just knew so much about her own country. So when this happened of me being dropped, I was like, okay, cool. My new material, what can I write it about? And I was like, okay, cool. I already kind of started and fleshed out this idea about being, you know, from the diaspora, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I really wanted to do was also kind of teach people who feel kind of lost or like disenfranchised from where they're from without it feeling preachy. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But still quite interesting. So yeah, I was like, cool. Let me write a short or like just for a studio session, like a really short studio session. So it's going to be like really simple. But when I wrote the script, I was like, no, I feel like, if I condense this, I would do it such a disjustice. Like, it has to be a proper full short film, not just a scene or just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Off the back of that, conducted a production company, had a chat with them on Monday. I put out the casting on Wednesday. And I was like, yeah, like, we're on a roll. And then I messaged Gaz. I was like, okay, do you know any directors? I don't know what even led me to do that. I was like, yeah, I think even in my head at that time, I was going to do it much later.
Okay.
I was like, oh yeah, in the future I'll do a short film based on this, or you know. So casting went out on Wednesday. Pretty much went from pre-production to post-production in 2 months. And I honestly feel like we could have done it short and quicker if it wasn't for the Christmas period. But everything in its season, like, I was going go, 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 go. And I believe in this story so much. My team believed in the story so much as well, because like the world building could be so huge. Because Adinkras, I don't know if we're going to go into this later, but Adinkras are like the Ghanaian symbols that all have a philosophy behind them. And I can just see this short being turned into a series where, you know, each episode or each, you know, we kind of embrace and learn about these philosophies. And yeah, I feel like these philosophies are for everyone and not just for Africans. So, yeah.
That's it.
No, I'm smiling first, but I'm really happy.
Manny, you, I'd say out of all of us, maybe you've been a, I wouldn't use the word advocate per se, but you've been someone that I know that delves into short films.
Yeah.
And I think there was the period when we first started, we had that Sky screening that we went to.
Yeah.
And Kobe, who's your friend, right? Mm. He directed one of the shorts, I think, one of the short films.
I think he didn't direct any of them. I think he was, he mentored the...
Yes, that was it.
I think it was six or four, I can't remember.
It was six, short
films.
Six
short films, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just interested to know where your sort of interest, if it is there, sort of came from for short films and what the power is of short films, I guess.
Sure. Just with anything with art, it's something that Gordon said in terms of like, he didn't want to condense the story because he didn't feel like he was, you were doing it justice by doing so. It reminded me just the importance of actually being honest when it comes to art and art forms and not just like in film, but in TV and in all sorts of things. And I think short films is just another way for people to express their feeling and thoughts. And emotions in whatever way they want to. I think, especially with short films, it's definitely an easier, more accessible way for people to be able to showcase the art and showcase the expression. And I think what the importance of art in general is to be able to showcase feelings and allow people to connect with each other. Always find that engaging with art that about communities or people or storylines that I'm not particularly familiar with or I don't particularly have an understanding with allows me to grow more empathy towards people in general.
Which we kind of need in this world, to be fair to you.
Definitely.
Need a bit of that.
And you only really and truly get that through honest art, honest telling of stories. I just love art in general, and short films just another extension of that.
Yeah, for sure. Bist, any feelings on that as well?
I think you're right. Retweet.
Yeah.
Why are you heavy? Like, I've got nothing to add.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think short films, I think just art as a whole, as you said, it's a great way of expression. And, you know, we live in a world, I guess, where most of the sort of films that we consume tend to be sort of long form feature films, etc. Yeah. But there's definitely a space and a gap for short films. And I think some of the best directors, at least, that we know, some of the best actors would have started from short films that they would have created by themselves. Yeah. I think Sean Baker, for example, used to do a lot of short films and he's gone on to win, what, 4 Oscars with Anora? Like, the journey can be a long journey sometimes, but it can be very much worthwhile if you believe in your craft, if you believe in your work. And everyone has to start from somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even, I want to add, like, even if you just make short films, it's not a, you don't always have to look at it as a stepping stone.
Of course
not.
Yeah. Some people are just great at making short films and make a career at short films. So I just want to, like, just people who might see short films as lesser to feature length or anything, that's not the case. It's just another art form. I'm not saying that's what you're trying to say, but it's what I'm to know.
That's what are you trying to say?
No,
I definitely second that, because short films and like with TikTok and all, like short form content, it's doing really well.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can, it's even a skill to tell a complete story in a short amount of time.
It's more impressive.
Yeah, like even with my film, I want to make sure that it's self-contained. As itself, it's still a strong film and people shouldn't see it as a stepping stone for something bigger. Like,
How did you go about doing so in terms of making it a concise piece of art which still manages to explore the themes of identity and ancestral wisdom? Like, how did you pack that into like an 8-minute, 9-minute film, which was really impressive? How did you go about that?
Could you read that again?
you lost her really early. Is she started smiling immediately.
I clocked it, to be fair. No, I was asking, how did you go about sort of exploring these themes of identity and ancestral wisdom and making it a story that's very much concise, but also delves into those themes in a very profound way?
Yeah.
Was it just a natural skill set? Because sometimes there are people that just have a skill set and they're just good at it. And sometimes it's kind of hard to explain.
I just got it.
Why you can do something. Sometimes people are just good at what they do, but you might have been planning this thing for some time and sitting down and writing. Like, how did you go about doing so?
Do you know what's actually helped me massively? And a friend of mine always used to be like, God, have you ever thought of directing? Have you ever thought of directing? I think it's my fine art background, being a painter, because painting was the first form of storytelling. Like drawing was one of the first form. And then like it's no different to filmmaking in my eyes. Mm. Just that film isn't static, it's dynamic.
Yeah.
And in painting, every single thing you have in there has to have a purpose. If not, it's like, why did you make this color red? Or like, why did you? I feel like the best painters are intentional with everything they put inside their painting. And I've translated that into film. It's like, what am I trying to convey with this piece of art? And yeah, I had to make sure that each line, each scene, each frame, not scene, but each like take conveyed the ultimate like storyline. Mm. And in terms of like the themes, it's just understanding what each character wanted in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding the reason why I wrote it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a personal story though, right? Because you feel, I guess you said you felt that sort of somewhat disconnect when you went back home to Ghana.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, I guess we can all relate to that feeling of,
yeah,
well, we don't fully belong in the UK or in London per se, but it's also home. But then when you go back to your parents' country where they would have grown up and been born from, it is home, but it doesn't necessarily, like, you don't feel that connection per se, unless you've really been engrossed in it from a very young age. Mm.
You know, you wrote something really interesting about oral traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, when an elder dies, a library burns.
Yeah.
And that saying, and it's so true. And I guess, like, so what point was there a trigger for you, like, to be like, oh, we need to tell more of these stories? These are the stories that need to be told.
So for my birthday last year, someone got me a DNA ancestry test as a joke. And I was like,
what
okay.
Does that look like?
Oh, no. It's okay. a Yoruba man, you know, Yoruba. You know,
Nigerian and a scene of a crime.
Always Nigerian. Always Nigerian. I was like, okay, cool.
The men or the women?
The men, they're always in a scene of a crime.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And I just did it. Because of course it's going to say Ghana. I'm a Ghana babe. But when I did it, and I had two versions of the result, I was more non-Ghanaian than I was Ghanaian. Like, the first result didn't show even 1% Ghana. It was 65% Nigerian. I was more Somali than I was Ghanaian. I was like, what the hell is happening here? And I think it made me realise, it. So what does it mean to even be Ghanaian? What does it even mean to be West African? Like, our cultures are just so intertwined. Like, we have similar cultures, similar stories. And this same person always would be like, in Nigeria, we have a drum called the talking drum. But so do we in Ghana. Yeah. Like, we have similar, like, cultures. And it's like understanding that, okay, cool, wow, like even during the DNA test I realized I had so many cousins and like lost like relatives in America. So I'm like, wow, imagine the stories that they could have known about where they were from in Ghana or like in Africa that now that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in 5-6 generations, even though what happened in like the slave trade was very like insidious, we will have a similar like as in cultural dissonance from where we're from in like 2-3 generations. Like when my child, I might have a child with someone else, and then that child, it's like how much of their Ghanaianness or their West Africanness would they still be connected to if I don't document this, if we don't document this? So I just felt like, if not now, when, you know? And as I said, like that African proverbs, and this is what it was inspired by, like by African proverbs. Like I feel like all of us are ethnic and like are black, who we understand that our parents always say these like really strong phrases that can't really be translated into English and has the same depth.
That's so true. There's something about like languages, yeah, they're like, when you make a joke and you're like, oh, it's just not funny in English. Yeah. Trust me though, it's just not funny in English.
Yeah.
But like, I'm Yoruba in it, yeah. But like, Yoruba is a very descriptive language.
Sorry, couldn't help myself.
It's a very descriptive language. And there's certain things that will never translate into English. Yeah. But it's like, give it a couple of generations, no one's going to understand this because.
Exactly.
Like, even you have artists like Ashake, yeah. They always have a running joke that he must be living with old people because he's Yoruba is just. It's one kind of Yoruba like this. But it's just that, what is he saying? But things might just be lost. But true, we've got a document here.
Yeah, we've got a document.
Manny, you've been on I hope I use this word respectfully. You've been on like a journey, from what I've noticed anyway, yeah. like the last couple of months, towards the back end of last year anyway, and you visited back home for the first time in quite some time. Mm. What was that like for you as an experience going back to Angola?
It was definitely a very surreal experience. Even prior to that, I think I'd be thinking a lot about my history, my family's history, getting a better understanding of Angola's history and even the surrounding countries, because there used to be Kikongo, a Congo kingdom that was around what is now DRC.
Democratic
Republic of Congo. Okay, Congo and what is now North Angola. We all used to be like a kingdom, and obviously we share ancestry. We share families because I'm really close with people that are from Congo. Mm. And then just like knowing that, and then finding out that at some point everything gets split up, and now I kind of have less in common with people that are born in the south of Angola in comparison to the people that are from a completely different country. The mind is based on the history within that region. And then now going to Angola for the first time, like since I was born actually, so I left there when I was like 2 years old. It's the first time I'm going back, sleeping at a house that my dad grew up in for a few years, seeing family members that I've not seen in 30 years, also going to areas that I was at when I was a little kid, and seeing pictures of myself. It was a very surreal feeling. Just feel like just hammering down the importance of, you know what I say, if you don't know your history, you'll never know your future. I'm a strong believer that no sustaining contact and communication with your family back home is possible. And then this also resulted in looking at my nephews and looking at my nieces that you lot don't necessarily have a relationship with our family back home. Most of my mom and her side of family, like her sisters and one of her brothers, a lot of them moved out of the country. I have literally like 2-3 cousins that are my age are still there, and some of them want to move out. So, but if you guys move out, then we literally don't have a home or a base on my mom's side of the family. And I just find that weird to an extent, not because it's anyone's fault. It's that how, like, it may be 1 or 2 generations, my grandchildren might not be able to have anybody they can call family going back home to Angola. So yeah, it's like just hammer down the importance of keeping his family connections, keeping his roots, because if you're born in this country for like people that have been in the country for generations, your roots are here to an extent.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
And even though London is my home, Angola is also my family home. So it's like, and I completely agree with your sentiments in terms of being able to reconnect with your family back home. And it's so funny because me and Bisola were here when Hope did an episode, and we're talking about short films. Me and Bisola are meant to do a short film, not together, but individually. We have written short films. Make it.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah,
I'll do it.
And Marwan also delves into the relationship and importance of reconnecting with back home, especially with the connection between Angola and Congo, and the connection that we have with the Kikongo kingdom. But yeah, man.
Interesting. Bisola, how does it, like, as a, you was born here, right?
Yeah.
No, just checking.
You should know this about me.
Sorry, apologies. Do you feel the same way in terms of that sort of somewhat disconnect when you visit back home? Or just going back to Africa as a whole, and then obviously being someone that's also very much, I'd say part of you anyway, is very much Black British, and what that means to be a Black British person in London as well.
Do you know, this week, honestly, coming back from Zimbabwe, it made me question everything.
Oh, wow.
Like, everything. I was only in Zimbabwe for 8, 9 days. And a lot of time I spent working, but even the area we were staying in, it's like this really lovely lodge, but the roads are still the roads, and I'm still on the main road, like, around the life. And it's going to sound really deep, but it's not as deep as it sounds. So I went there with my hair braided and a wig on and, like, a headband. And I was like, eventually I'll just get my hair done and I'm out there, but I just won't have my hair out for a bit because it'll be too hot, blah blah. But it's just the excuses you kind of just make in your mind, like, I'll just wear a wig for a bit and da da da. And then I got there and I didn't put my wig on at all. Like, I literally took it off on the plane, and I was like, I actually do not care. So I had my hair out for the week. I never have a problem with my hair, but I was like, I've got a problem with my natural hair braided down for everyone to see. That's the problem. And I was like, this is an issue. Yep. Let's address this immediately. Yeah, just I had my hair up for the week, then I got my hair done on the last day whilst I was there. But then there was like heavy rains. So I braided my hair just in the rain. I was like, well, I need to pull it away. And I was like, oh, but it's fine because this is my hair, because it's not that deep. Yeah. And then I was like, would this even be a problem? Like, why would this be a problem? Yeah. And then the panel talk about music and globalization of music in Zimbabwe and how Zim artists can like make their music more worldwide. And one of the comments from one of the panelists was about like making music in English to be palatable. And I was like, well, no, fuck that. Like, why the hell would we do that? We're the only ones that apologize for being African. We're the only ones that apologize for being having an accent. Like, you go to Paris, the Parisians are not apologizing for sounding like they're from France.
Yeah.
Their English is their English because they're not English.
Yeah.
But we apologize for having an accent. We put it on, we do this stuff. And then there's this language, Ndebele, in Zimbabwe, but it's also kind of spoken in South Africa. And it's the one where it's got like the clicks when they speak. And it just adds like an extra layer to music. It sounds super cold, And I was like, why would you not rap like that? That's free percussion on your instrument, on your song. And not it was so good. This girl was rapping, it was so cold. And she started rapping in English, but she had this American accent. And I was like, stop it. I was like, nip that shit in the bud. That shit does not sound cold. Yeah, and I was like, we questioned so much our blackness, We're going to read like around the house's way of saying this.
That's
but
cool.
We questioned our blackness so much, And when you go somewhere where you're not the minority, you realise that it's just fine to be And it's like, again, it sounds really deep, but it's not that deep. It's just, it's a numbers thing. Like, you accept what you see. And when you realise that people sound the way they do, they have another language, they look the way they do, they're just not English. They're not British. They're not white. And that is fine. And that is okay. And I think my affinity being Nigerian, I go extra hard to make sure I remember that I'm a Nigerian. Yeah. I never ever want to forget that because I'm scared I will.
That's going to happen.
But like, even down to the language, I feel like Nigerians were all really prideful as people. But you ask everyone, like, can you speak Yoruba? Can you speak Igbo? Can you speak Edo? And it's like, I understand it. And it's like, really? For people that are so prideful, conversation in Yoruba and we're all beating each other up. And it's like, guys, this is bad. This is so bad. So that's why I'm like making sure my Yoruba sounds better like this year. Like, I still kind of speak of English accent, but I can't shift that, unfortunately. Like, it's not going to go. But I want to make sure I can just speak. So, like, my niece and nephew can understand Yoruba right now. But it's like, will they speak it? No. And that might make a problem.
Yeah.
I think that's also quite a... We have a privilege, in a sense, like being here. And the privilege isn't necessarily because we're here, but it's because we get a multitude of like experiences, cultures, themes that we can all tell stories within, right? So like, we're African in terms of our ancestry, but being here gives you another sort of glimpse into life, into food, into music, into film, into TV.
Yeah.
And I think we have that luxury, and I think that's why it's important that you, for example, are making this short film. And I'm intrigued to know the challenges of being someone that's created this piece of art as well as acted in it as well. And how, if it is, how difficult that was for you.
Do you know every time people ask me about how this, like, the process of the short film, you know the end of the Nollywood film, it goes, to God be the glory. Before I didn't get it, but now I get it because it's not be easy. It's not easy at all. I think being heavily involved in production and like coordinating it, it's firstly I'm the writer, so I had the vision of how I wanted it to be and like the world of it, because it's quite a simple but complex world. I liken it to like the grittiness and the groundedness of like Attack the Block. So it's very UK, but it has the world building of Black Panther. And then it has the like mystique or the mystery of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Narnia. So it's even trying to capture that and doing it justice, because sometimes, you know, typically Nollywood has this whole, their special effects and the whole thing. They have a stigma, like, oh, this is very Nollywood. And I think it's very hard to do that tastefully. Especially, like, because most Black people know what Nollywood looks like, or bad CGI looks like. So that was really important for me to catch the truth in it, saying like, this is our ancestral story. These are Ghanaian ancestral stories told through a lens that the international world can also understand, but as well as us, as well as other Ghanaians, as well as other West Africans. So that was a challenge, making sure that I was truthful for the story. The production as well, like the speed that I did everything in and like just contacting everyone and speaking to everyone.
How big was your team for the short?
I think there was about, I'd say about six of us. Mm-hmm. Six of us, and I'm like very, very grateful for every single person. But there's been times I've crashed out.
Times I've crashed out. I'll be so intrigued to see you crash out though.
You don't seem like a crash out.
Yeah, I don't really. But when I do, but when I do, I'm like, yeah.
Manny, I've never
seen can't picture God.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not really.
Don't know that voice.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm not very, I'm quite sane. I'm quite sane, you know. I'm not too sane. Crazy, God. But that time almost drove me.
Naturally, though, it's your piece of art, right? So you want to get it right. Yeah.
Exactly. And
I think it's also good to creatively clash.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we can very much be, and it can work both ways, we can very much be stuck in our ways. And our, for example, I'll give you the perfect example. And I didn't clash with him because I didn't voice it per se. Mm-hmm. But we did a trailer for the pod. And I can't stand The Office. And we did a mock-up of a mockumentary of The Office for our trailer. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that shit. Didn't want to put the suit on. Didn't want to be there. Not because of the pod, but because fuck The Office. I don't care about the show. But it ended up being, and I did voice it to Huss, who came up with the great idea. I didn't agree with the idea. Like, I didn't think it was necessary to do a trailer. But it's probably like to kick off our season and our year. It was like a great thing to do, and it went really, really well. Yeah. So sometimes it's good to have creative disagreements, whether it's crashing out or whether it's just like voiced amicably. It's good to have those sort of.
He says all of this, yeah, but he was like the star of the show. He was Jim.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was Jim. But yeah, also acting in this film. Like I'm really intrigued to know about the challenges for that, and have you acted previously?
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
So I was actually in a Netflix show called The Sandman.
Jeez. Stop it.
So I was in The Sandman. And prior to that, I'd done like quite a lot of short films, a lot of commercial stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think post pandemic just made me realize acting, you can't be half in, half out. You have to commit to it. And I just know, and I hope with this film, I'm able to like get my foot back in and be like, okay, cool. I am here and here to stay. So get a new agent. Like just, I don't know what the next year will look like, but I'm just really optimistic. I just know that I've just done my bit, been obedient, like thing.
For sure.
And just put it out there, so.
You're speaking tree, right?
Yeah.
Did you have to learn tree or do you know tree already?
That one, dear. Okay. When I speak tree, people say it sounds like I'm speaking Chinese or Mandarin.
No, but the thing is, tree does sound like Mandarin.
Okay,
cool. That's not like the insult, it actually does.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But I feel like my accent's not the greatest, but I remember me and my mum, we went to like a city break very briefly and she helped me with my pronunciation and everything. So my tree, it's kind of like you said, like with your Yoruba, like if someone's speaking to me, I can understand it, but the confidence to speak it.
She's scared you're going to get laughed at. And they don't shy away and go, what are you saying? They make you repeat it.
Exactly. So, I had to learn it for the certain bits. But yeah, my mum definitely helped me with that. So it was even nice because I felt connected to her and like
that's nice.
To my roots even more.
Yeah. So. I feel like it flowed really nicely though. It sounded like, because it felt quite conversational.
Yeah. So I did it. So.
Yeah, well, I was really impressed with two, like the opening shot. Where was that filmed?
So that was filmed in like Northern England.
And what made you go over that out of interest?
Yeah, so there was two reasons, because like the backstory. I wanted it to be them to feel out of place. Mm-hmm. Like two black British people meeting in this out of place. I wanted to highlight how
it was a pub, right?
A pub.
Yeah,
how out of place they were, but also how comfortable they felt in that place as well.
Because it is still a British.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I wanted that juxtaposition, because initially I was going to film it in a pub still, but in London. But I just felt like I wanted that
disconnect
or that it to feel more
a bit gritty as well. Like the pubs in London today are very much sort of modern, and you've got the Prince of Peckham, for example. And even that, it's still got that classic feel, but it's still a modern vibe. Whereas those northern pubs, if you've ever been to one, very much old school, gritty, down to earth. You're going to get your £2.50 beer.
That's the way it's right.
Yeah, so I felt like just to highlight that out of place, it would have been good to Northern England, but still very England.
Yeah. No. And I was really also, I don't know if you caught it yourself, Manny and Biss. But when
Straight away. I would have caught it too.
Biss and Manny.
Yeah.
My bad. I think when we watch films and TV shows, we very much always have our eyes open towards how people of our complexity are filmed.
Yeah.
And specifically with like lighting as well. And the reason I went to him first is because he's like a cinematographer file. Like,
so am I.
But like the lighting and the shot, even the original shot with the camera of you two side by side, I thought it was gorgeous.
It was.
Thank you.
Did you, even the clothes that you guys were wearing, did you purposely wear those colours because of the shot and the way the pub looked?
Yeah. Talk us through like the thought process behind the aesthetics, because we were all, three of us were impressed by that. So yeah, really intrigued.
Ooh, so I have this amazing team member called Lulu. She's part of costume, and she actually reached out to me when I put out the casting. And she's like, hey, I'm not an actor, but I'd love to help with costume.
Sick.
And I wrote a treatment. I did a treatment, and it's quite, I knew the vision, and colours meant to evoke things and everything. So we literally, Kate went back and forth, explained to her what my vision was. And like, yeah, she was like, brown because of this, like, the richness, and we wanted it to feel very grounded. So any elements of surprise feel more like oh, okay, I didn't expect this. So yeah, and I was very, very clear with my vision with the cinematographer and editor, like even the color grading.
Yeah.
I went inside the suite and I was next to the editor. We were like, like I want a warmth to it. I want this, I want that. And I think black skin, you have to be able to color grade correctly. And I wanted to evoke a nice feeling when people saw that first shot in the film.
No, it was, I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
What else did you enjoy about the short, Manny, if you don't mind me asking?
I enjoyed how quickly I liked the characters.
Even real life. You've been spitting today for real.
Oh,
go off, Black King.
I enjoyed this.
Black
how,
King.
Yeah. Okay. How quickly I got invested into the actual story. Even understanding what your grandma was like as well.
Oh, wow.
Like I wanted to know more about your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful conversation though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not even just the conversations, the emotion that they evoked, because he was a bit more reluctant within the conversation.
Yeah.
So,
it felt like there were two different points in their journey to like understanding their heritage. That's what it felt like. And I was like, I just want to knock his head a bit, like, grandma knows. But also like, it's fine if she doesn't know.
What, her grandma or her?
No, as in him being like, your grandma has like, she knows stuff. Like,
yeah.
And then she's been like, well, yeah, the truth here is not just like things they say.
Mm. He was more than happy to bury everything and put it to the side. That's what felt like to me. But just even the way that he evoked those feelings, and how maybe stoic is not the right word, but he felt like very neutral as a person with his character, and that went really well because it bounced off your character as well. Because I feel like your character's a bit more emotional even from the start, even towards the end. There's even that scene where you take the key and the book, and I don't know if you give the direction in terms of like the sound design in the background. Because it quickly, because sometimes you can watch something and sometimes you notice it about what you're hearing. And I think there was like a switch in sound.
Mm.
And then there's like a realization from him. I don't know if he saw something that made you, that reminded you of the grandma. That's what I assumed that's what it was, that you look like granny right now. That's what I got from it. But I really, really liked that. Yeah, it was a really good film. Like when I watched it, I was like, yeah, shout out Gordon for doing this. Yeah.
To be honest, I know you want it like a short film, like, we love them, but I do want more. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I need to know where this goes.
Yeah.
I'm quite heavily invested now. So.
Fingers crossed, we'll see whatever happens next.
Yeah, and I think that's this with the short, and I know you expanded, but I'm always drawn to characters, obviously for the acting, but like the power of dialogue and conversation and how that's written. And I think you did a great job of evoking your character's feelings. And I think, did you pen the dialogue as well?
Yes, I wrote the...
It's incredible.
Yeah, I wrote it.
Yeah, really impressive, man. Really, really impressive.
Yeah, you let down.
Biss, any other feelings from you about the short?
Other than you ate that? I want more. I am quite heavily invested now.
Because you want more?
Yeah, because now I want more because I need to know And I'm really excited to just hear what the grandma was actually saying. Mm-hmm. Like, what were the parables she was saying? What was it talking about people like going missing or leaving? Like, what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And now I'm just...
Yeah.
I kind of just locked in. So.
You mentioned something
putting
really
you on
interesting.
The clock, Shadi.
You mentioned something really interesting about Greek mythology and how within sort of the world today, in terms of film, TV, art as a whole, Greek mythology is very much sort of seen as profound, as interesting, as worth stories being told on the big screen, the small screen, in books and sort of visual arts, whereas there's definitely a reluctance and less of African mythology within the sort of within the society that we live in today. Are you hoping to potentially, like, whether it's a small role, big role, play a role in sort of changing that and putting that into people's sort of homes and people's hearts?
Is that 100, something? Yeah, it's something I'm really passionate about. I think writing this whole thing, even before that, writing my book, and all of this made me realise that African stories aren't just for Africans, they're for everyone.
Yeah.
And like, they have profound lessons, profound like parables that you can apply to every day. Like even in the film, Sankofa means return and get it. And it's a short abbreviation of a whole phrase that means, I'm not going to say that because, you know, my tree's not treeing. My tree's not treeing, okay. Please. But the whole phrase is like, it is not bad to go into the past to forget what is lost in order to move forward. Mm-hmm. And the tree is so profound. Like, anyone who could speak a different language will understand, like, it's almost poetic. Mm. You know, a lot of African language, West African language, very poetic. And that's a very strong thing. Like, in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've come from. Mm. And that can be applied to every day. And when it comes to African, not even mythology, like the mythology, philosophy, because these people are living it day to day. This is their everyday life that they would kind of carry with them. I honestly feel like the world is ready for it, but it's about how we serve it to them. And I feel like for film is the most palatable form to do that, and TV. So yeah, I'm excited.
There's this couple. I think they're a couple.
You're shipping them.
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
On TikTok,
not on TikTok and Instagram, called Adechi and Atelia.
Yeah.
I apologize if I'm butchering the name. And they focus on talking about African mythology, African folklore, African art. So that's like, I don't know if you come across them.
I haven't.
But I think that's something that you could look into.
Like,
I don't know if it adds some inspiration to it. But yeah, even anybody else that's listening, I think they do like quite a lot of good content, quite a lot of good work in highlighting African mythology and folklore.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about open-ended question to everyone, really? But we're also Black British, like we're here, and I think we've also got a very interesting sort of multitude of cultures that all sort of form into one. So although I'm Ugandan, I'm Black British here, I'm surrounded by Caribbeans, I'm surrounded by white people, English-born white people, I'm surrounded by Asians, and it's like a really interesting, as the term is used, melting. You knew I was a guy with a melting.
sorry.
You knew I was a guy with a melting. No, but it is a sort of multitude of cultures. How do you guys feel about that being told? It doesn't necessarily just have to be within sort of film and TV, but just life as a whole. How do you feel about that part of our sort of culture growing up here?
I think there's space for everything. And my honest truth is, as long as it's Black, I'm going to watch it. That's honest, I have to be completely honest here. So there is space to tell all stories. I don't want to lose what once was. We don't have to like get rid of that in order to get the stories you need now. Everything can coexist, so just more. I think just more
storytellers.
If you've got a story, just tell it. The irony in me saying that, writing a short and not releasing it, is there. But
you're playing your role though for the pod for now.
Doing my thing here.
We'll get there eventually. I think it's just important for there to be platforms for people to be able to tell these stories. And also, what I learned from last year and some of the films that I watched, just the importance of engaging with art that's not necessarily for you, to a sense. Like, that speak about different communities and different group of people. So I think it's such an importance to engage in such art, whether they be in films, music, or in TV, or whatever platform it is. I feel like we all need to do that. Engage with art that's not necessarily about us or for us. But yeah.
Carla, any feelings?
Yeah, I think that's one of the beauties of being a Londoner. Like, I love the fact that I have, like, Ling, she's part of the team. She's Vietnamese Chinese. Like, my other good friend, she's from Bangladesh. Like, it's such a privilege to be able to be introduced to so many of these other cultures, but also have my own. And I feel like that's the beauty of being a Londoner. I feel like the only other cities that probably can understand this, probably like New York, Toronto. But I think London is probably one of the best places for that. Sorry, everybody, but like...
Yeah,
in terms of like that multiculturalism, and I feel like...
We look when we want to be one.
And I think it's really nice that we're able to share these stories with our friends. Like when you go to your Asian friend's house, or even being Ghanaian and going to your Nigerian friend's house and going to your Ugandan friend's house, like we still have these similarities that we can all learn from. And I feel like we're all Black Britishness is that melting pot of all of these cultures put together.
And the truth is, as long as you're a first or second gen, I think we all share a similar story in being but not fully belonging. So everyone can kind of just get it. I don't think you need to be of that culture to understand it.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Who are some of our favourite, just on the spot? And I'm bad at this, man. I'm bad at thinking of actors on the spot. But who are some of our favourite Black British actors of today and why? Basala, you're not going first. He's not going first. Manny, I'm gonna throw the baton to you first.
Cool. Gonna throw a cheeky one. Shout out Josh.
Definitely. Oh, friends.
My sister
Josh
loves
friends.
Him. He's my sister.
The young gen are big fans of him.
So yeah, shout out Josh.
Why did you say it like that?
No. She appreciates his acting in Borders.
Okay.
She loves it massively.
Very precise wording.
I did not say anything.
That wording was super precise.
Shout out Josh. Shout out. His name is slipping away from me.
Give me the point.
Industry.
David Johnson.
Yeah.
Shout out.
He's on a bit of a role.
I'm really, really excited. What excites me the most about his acting is the fact that his roles are so different. Which I'm really looking forward to see what he's able to do next. Mm. And even my guy that's now going to be in industry.
Talking about, because you might want to do some research for that.
Yeah, he plays Sam in Ted Lasso. Mm. I was saying to guys that, like, I'm looking forward to seeing him in industry because the tone between Ted Lasso and industry is so different. And looking forward to see how he adjusted that in terms of his acting.
Why's kids laughing?
Because I can't.
Pronounce his name.
Yeah, I already know, but I butcher this. All right, is it a Tohib Galabo?
Okay, it's not bad, man.
Yeah. Well, then.
What did you just say?
He tried.
I tried. I get my best, but yeah, I still play Sam.
Ted Lasso.
He's gonna be in.
Really interesting character as well. His character in Ted Lasso, which is back for season 4. Yeah, because of Hannah.
Yeah.
You're so silly. Let's not get into that anyway. It's a conversation.
Should've been me.
Okay. You guys don't even want to know how. Don't want to know.
In this kind of discussion,
yeah.
May God deliver you.
Oh, you know, golly. Although I don't think his whole acting career has necessarily been well flushed out, I think he's had like two major moments in Idris Elba, career-defining performance in The Wire, and it's like. Such an impressive, like, his story of getting into The Wire for me was really impressive. Like, where he had to pretend about his accent, he had to lie about where he was from.
Yeah.
They actually realised that he was...
Was at the rap party?
Yeah. They realised he was an accent, British. And they sort of played along with it the whole time. And then they were like, yeah, we're going to give you the role of Stringer. He actually applied for the role, or was casted for the role of Avon as well. Mm-hmm. But they gave it to, obviously, Wood Harris, who's superb amazing actor. And obviously, in Luther, I think he's like, it's probably like, in terms of Brits anyway, it's like his other career defining performance. And, you know, it kind of helped establish him in sort of big time Hollywood, if you like. In terms of young actors, I definitely think David Johnson's really impressive, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this one for you. You can have the one that you want to go for.
I'm going to say she said at the same time. Do you know what, yeah? There are a few people I'm going to say, yeah, but I do want to highlight, there's something about him being both from Peckham and Yoruba. And I think respect his art.
Yeah.
Mm.
Damson Idris, I think he did a great job.
In Snowfall.
But he did, you know what? One thing I will never, like, joke about is his acting. Like, I do like cock in hand a lot of time when I speak about him. But genuinely, yeah.
That's
him.
That's fucking
farming.
Crazy.
Yeah, him and farming.
Him and farming. Genuinely, he didn't say much in farming, yeah. But that's when I realized that I was like, oh, he is a phenomenal actor. Mm. Like he's also farming made me cry. So I think it just evokes so much emotion. But also to like, Jesus, this is insane as a concept. But yeah. Damson Idris, I'd also like to highlight Tosin Cole. I'm really excited for his future, mm-hmm. where he's going to go next. And yeah.
Daniel Kay is definitely...
You're really restricting yourself, isn't it? Like yeah. you're trying your hard not to say what you...
Do you know who I want to shout out? Obviously, I saw her film. I think it came out, there was a lot of premieres for it last year. Mm-hmm. And we spoke to her at the London BFI Film Festival, and it's Marianne Jean-Baptiste. Oh, we've sort of yeah. grown up with, I feel like I've just seen her yeah. on my TV throughout my life. And I actually didn't know she was Oscar nominated
prior.
Mm. So for her to even be in contention again, what, 30 years odd later, yeah. in a very like, yeah. Her role is intense. But then towards the back end of the film, Hard Truths, which is the film, yeah. you really feel like the raw emotion of her character. And the film takes you on a journey of like, there's something about this woman I don't like, but she's also quite like, very funny. But then you know that deep down we use like humour or anger as a mask for how we're truly feeling. Yeah. And I think at the back end of the film, Hard Truths, you really see the emotion of her character. Her performance was phenomenal.
Yeah,
Definitely Oscar worthy in terms yeah. of nomination at the very least. She's a lovely woman. She said she hopes we do well as a podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Lovely. You're going to do
that. Yeah. When all the black women say that, it usually means it's going
to
happen.
Yeah. And I feel like she meant it because obviously when she was going down the line, she was speaking to like other sort of other interviewers and companies and sort of houses. And then when she came to us, it felt like she actually felt like she was at home for 2 minutes, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is her name? She won the BAFTA for End of the Fucking World.
Can do some Googles for you. And...
she's in
the.
I don't think I've seen End of the World.
End of the Fucking World, she had.
Oh, Naomi Aki.
Yeah.
What film is End of the Fucking World?
No, no, it's a TV show. It was on Channel 4. Then it got picked up for this last season on Netflix.
What is it?
The White Boy.
Oh, from.
Black Mirror. You have discussed it.
I've watched 4 episodes. She's not in the scenes that.
She's in season 2.
Okay, I haven't seen season.
She's super talented, man.
Yeah. Oh, she's cold.
She's super talented. Yeah.
She is cold.
She's in, what's that movie that just came
Mickey
out?
Mickey 17.
That's it.
Blink Twice, she smoked Blink Twice last year. Yeah. Smokes Blink Twice. She was really, really good.
Yeah, she's
Oh, I think she was even, it's going to, like, I love, Blink Twice was one of my favourites from last year. But I think in Mickey 17, you could even see there was like a step up in her performance for you personally.
Again, seeing actors perform different roles in such a short space of time just shows how great they are.
Factual.
The diversity.
Factual.
Yeah, she's cold, man.
But any other names before we throw the baton to Golda? Any other actors that come to mind?
Not right now.
Friends of the show, Letitia Wright, we have to shout out.
Right, yeah.
And who else did we...
Lashana Lynch.
Good friend of the show.
Good friend
of the show. What about you, Golda? Any other black British actors that come to mind?
Yeah, Letitia Wright. Like, I absolutely love her work. Yeah, she's just great. Josh, I don't want to butcher his surname, but he's my Ghana brother.
Teddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My Ghana brother, I feel like he's very talented and definitely one to watch. As in, like, yeah,
he's incredibly talented for sure.
Damson did amazingly in.
Everything he does. You're right.
You two are
amazing. I haven't done anything.
God forbid we celebrate a black king.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in F1. Really?
Oh yeah, the trailer looked really good.
Because you had doubts about that film.
It's because I don't like Formula One. That was my main doubt. That was my main doubt. It's because I don't care enough about it. That's why I fear that if it's going to be the premise of it too much, I'm not going to be excited to watch it. But I'm still going to watch it. The trailer kind of looked interesting.
I think the power of sports films when done well, and I saw some Formula One films.
There's a series right now on Netflix. Have you watched it?
No, but Jason
Drive to Survive.
Yeah, is it good?
I don't know. Jason has watched it.
The first few seasons of Drive to Survive are really good. I think.
It's not brand new. It's just a new season.
It's season 7.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
But I think the powerful thing about sort of sports films is if you dive into more the emotion of what's going on with particular characters and surround that with the action of the sports, then you've got like a really interesting sort of dive into a film. What's next for you, Golda? What's coming up next in terms of the next couple of months this year? Have you got more short films for us?
But firstly, she's going to turn a new age first. What's up after that?
Yeah. After that, it's the festival run. So I find out the first festival I get into at the end of this month.
Okay.
We've applied for Tribeca Film Festival, so fingers crossed.
Good luck.
So the end of next
month.
And like just doing the whole festival run for the next 12 months, let's say that. So yeah, so hopefully should be like traveling. Yeah, so let's just wait and see. I'm really excited. I trust that this film will do what it needs to do. Like, I've just done my part. I've created it, I've put it into the world, and just gonna continue pushing it and just see what happens, and you know, just take it as it comes.
Question for you. Do you, we're all creators here in other sense. Do you ever have that feeling after you've completed the piece of work where after it's been some time and you look back in it and it's, you kind of start picking things, but because we're all very much sort of self-critical of everything we do, and like you show it to somebody else and they'll be like, this is amazing, I love what you've done here. But, you know, you look back on your art and you think, that isn't good. But at the time it feels so profound. I think that speaks to like the continuous journey that we're on as people that put art out to the world, where we're always on a journey. But yeah, what's next for you in terms of how many festivals have you applied for and so on and so forth?
About 13.
And are all in the UK?
No, I say about 7 in the UK and like the other 5 in like America. So yeah, so just seeing
how does one even go about doing that, out of interest, just for people listening that might want to do the same thing?
Yeah, so you just have to.
And money.
Yeah.
Yes. So you apply via like the festival websites. So they have like deadlines and everything. And yeah, as long as your film is viable.
What is a viable film, out of interest?
Has a good storyline.
Okay. I thought it had to be like a certain
just as long as you have to believe in the film as well. Like you said, like it's so easy to pick at things. Like if I had, but I guess that's with everything. The more time you have, you would try to, but I had to limit myself. If not, I'll keep on.
You would have kept editing, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like just the film process, like you have to look, like follow the Cannes pages, like follow all of that film freeway. That's what it's called as well. So it's kind of like it's like LinkedIn for festivals as well. And just utilizing my industry networks as well, just letting them know, oh, hey, I've created a film.
Do you hear that, Manny? Industry networks. Number one?
Industry number one.
Is she number one?
Number one.
Yeah. Persona's a close second.
I'm not getting money out your mouth.
Do you want to tell our listeners and watchers where they can find you in terms of sort of social media or so on and so forth, where they can find the film?
I want to ask her one question before.
Okay.
Yeah? One more.
She said, go ahead, sir.
In terms of as an actor, and then maybe even as a director, who would you want to work with in the future?
Oh my goodness, you put me on the spot. Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
Vasola's not happy with that.
Oh, you not like his work?
How long do you think you'll be on that screen in the Christopher Nolan movie?
Okay, Vasola.
32 seconds.
Because I'm black.
And a woman. And back to back.
Okay, oops. But I like his directing style. I love Inception. I love Hans Zimmer.
He's scoring on
what's the space Interstellar. One? Interstellar. Mm-hmm.
Manny's that favorite film ever.
Oh, really?
It's one of them's up there.
Yes. Who else would want to work with an actor? Okay. With another black British actor. Like, I think I would love to be in a really good drama with like a strong black British actor.
It's going to sound really random, but because I watched him in a show recently, Malachi Kirby. Really impressive.
He's so talented.
Actor. Recently.
No. No, he actually is talented.
Really, I think last year won a BAFTA as well, or a couple of years ago at least. And I watched him in 1,000 Blows. Don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Really, really good. Really. I don't know why. It sounds random, but I could picture you two on screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rom-com.
Let's wait and see.
Amen.
Let's wait and see. Yeah.
Where can we find you?
So and the film. Socials. Okay. In terms of the film, it's not going to be out until the festival run is done. So it won't be out publicly. So you should be able to find the film at the festivals that they will be screaming at. And hopefully, off the back of that, it could come to streaming platforms. Or, do you know what I mean? So let's just wait and see. And to follow me personally in the journey, my socials are all Goldkesse, @GoldKesse. That's my personal Instagram. So yeah, feel free to follow us. And the film is Adinkra, A D R. Oh. A D I N K R A film on Instagram. So yes. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for joining us today. Thank it's you. Been a really enjoyable episode. And yeah, all the best with the future. Looking forward to seeing what comes from you.
And thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. At first, I was like, what do I expect? You'd be asking me craziness. But no, I really appreciate it.
It was a great conversation, to be fair. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
No, you did, because you were smiling throughout.
Yeah. I've never seen you this happy.
You have?
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
When Toby was here last year, he did something.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, the greatest of all time.
Oh, goodness. we are the post-credit scene podcast, A14 HQ Original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Make sure to follow us on TikTok, which is going really well. The recent post with Josh went crazy. Shout out to the producer of those. Kizza.
Don't shout
him out. Some random guy.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram as well.
Some guy called Kiz.
And we're actually on YouTube, so you should like, subscribe, drop a comment, thanks. Maybe like some of the videos. We would really appreciate it. Give us a 5-star on Spotify as well.
Also, leave a comment on Spotify and next time we will actually read it out.
Yes, I will. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. But lovers of film and TV, over and out.
Cheers. Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.